Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q4 FY25 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Utkarsh SFB Management Team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Utkarsh SFB, represented by Mr. Govind Singh, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Pramod Kumar Dubey, Executive Director, Mr. Sarjukumar Simaria, CFO, Mr. Amit Acharya, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Vivek Kashyap, Head JLG Sales Micro Banking, and Mr. Puneet Maheshwari, Strategy and Investor Relations Head. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Govind Singh for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Renish. Thanks a lot. So thank you, everyone, for taking our time to attend our Q4 FY25 earnings call. FY25 has been a challenging year on account of a difficult operating environment for the microfinance sector that emanated from higher borrower-level leverage and credit supply tightening for underlying borrowers, guardrail norms. Microfinance sector stress peaked out towards the end of the year with the stabilization of X-bucket collection efficiency and reduction in new PAR accretion, as well as some improvement in disbursement. However, we continue to see good traction on our non-JLG and secured loan portfolio, healthy growth in deposits led by retail term deposits and CASA. We have also expanded our franchise significantly. We have more than 1,000 banking outlets now. In terms of business performance, our deposits grew by around 23% year-on-year to 21,566 crore. Deposits growth was led by growth in retail term deposits, which grew by 33% year-on-year, and CASA deposits, which grew by 31% year-on-year. Our CASA deposits ratio also improved to 21.8% as of March 25 from 19.7% as of December 24. Share of CASA plus RTD ratio improved from 66% as of March 24 to 71% as of March 25. We have a strong network of 331 general banking branches, largely covering top 100 centers of the country, primarily in metro and urban locations. These branches are focusing on deposits mobilization and retail asset loan sourcing. We see significant potential to scale up from these locations. Our deposits mobilization strategy revolves around customer 360-degree perspective, improving product per customer, and comprehensive customer engagement, including digital enablement. We have also launched NRI banking in quarter four FY25. In line with our strategy, we have been reducing our CD ratio, which declined to 87% as of March 25 versus 94% as of March 24. If we net off refinance borrowing from advances, CD ratio declines to 78% as of March 25. Recently, we have reduced interest rates for savings deposits for certain slabs, as well as highest rate for retail term deposits by 25 basis points, which will lead to reduction in cost of funds gradually. As regards JLG book, stress peaked out in quarter four FY25. We have seen improvement in X-bucket collection efficiency for quarter four FY25, which was 99.1% for quarter four FY25. We also witnessed improvement in JLG disbursement towards the end of FY25. We expect this momentum to continue in FY26 as there is a decline in leverage level of underwriting borrowers in the microfinance segment, and guardrail norms are ensuring tighter control on overall leverage level of microfinance borrowers. MFIN Guardrail 2.0, with respect to number of lenders not exceeding three lenders, are fully implemented in our system with effect from 1st April 2025. Furthermore, with reference to state-level ordinance and related disruption, we do not have any direct exposure towards JLG lending in Karnataka as well as Tamil Nadu. As we highlighted during last earnings call, we expect SMA book to normalize by quarter one FY26. SMA book in microbanking portfolio reduced from 10% as on December 24 to 5% as on March 25. And accordingly, we expect fresh NPA generation to reduce meaningfully in some time. We are seeing improvement in collections from OD book. Expect meaningful improvement in collection from OD buckets in H1 FY26. While we continue to focus on collections in current environment, we expect JLG disbursement to normalize by quarter 2 FY26. As for quarter 4 FY25, JLG disbursement were rupees 1340 crore, marginally higher than 1296 crore in quarter 3 FY25. As we continue to focus on collections, and as a result, JLG portfolio declined by around 18% during FY25. We expect JLG loan book decline to get arrested by end of quarter 1 FY26. We have seen significant pickup in disbursements toward microbanking individual loan. We call MBBL. MBBL portfolio grew by 36% year on year to 910 crore. MBBL disbursement for quarter 4 FY25 were higher by 49% quarter on quarter and 25% year on year. MBBL comprises 9% of our microbanking loan book. It is focused on graduating better profile JLG customers with good repayment track record. This portfolio is behaving much better on collection efficiency and asset quality. Individual loan portfolio is expected to grow faster. We are seeing good traction in our non-JLG loan portfolio, which grew by 45% in FY25. MSE loan portfolio grew by 52% year-on-year to rupees 3875 crore. Disbursement yield also improved by 180 basis points over same quarter last year. Within this, we are also seeing traction in micro LAP portfolio, wherein disbursement yield is around 18%. We see good growth potential for this product in our geographies and give our strong franchise. Housing loan portfolio grew by 36% year on year to rupees 918 crore. Disbursement yield also improved by 80 basis points over same period last quarter. Over same quarter last year. CE and CVC loan book increased by 26% year on year to rupees 1188 crore. Within this, we are focusing on increasing share of used vehicles. We are strengthening our presence in BBG lending. Entire portfolio is secured against immovable collateral. This book grew by 52% year on year to rupees 903 crore. We are seeing much better traction on cross sell on both sides, asset products, that is MSME, housing and micro LAP through our liability focused GB branches, and deposit account for our asset customer, essentially more products per customer. Further in line with our strategy, we have been increasing share of secured loan in our portfolio. It increased further from 34% as on March 24 to 43% as on March 25 and is likely to increase further. On account of significant degrowth in JLG loan book, overall gross loan book growth was moderate at 7.5% year on year and 3.2% quarter on quarter. As for outlook on loan book growth, we expect JLG disbursements to normalize sometime around quarter 2 FY26. Expect good growth in MBBL portfolio in digital loan. We are expecting healthy growth trend to continue for non-microbanking portfolio, which is largely secured loan portfolio, in FY26 as well. We are consistently expanding our franchise and opened more than 200 new branches during FY25. Our total branch count exceeded 1,000 branches as on March 31, 2025, which are spread across 27 states and UTs. We have significant large franchise which is adequate for our target growth, and hence we may not need much expansion of branch network in FY26. On account of challenging operating environment in microfinance lending, our fresh NPA slippages were high in quarter 3 and quarter 4 of FY25, and as a result, our gross NPAs increased from 6.17% as on December 24 to 9.43% as on March 25. As we are expecting SMAs to normalize by end of quarter 1 FY26, fresh NPA slippages will also decline meaningfully. As mentioned on our last earnings call, we were holding floating provision of rupees 190 crore, which we have utilized towards loss on sale of stress assets and the non-performing assets during quarter 4 FY25. We have also registered with CGFMAU for credit guarantee for unsecured JLG portfolio and are looking forward for credit guarantee cover for all JLG disbursement post our registration rate, that is January 17, 2025. We are strengthening our collection team as well as efforts and expect collection trends to improve. We are reducing caseload per staff as well as strengthening collection team of micro banking set up call center for reach out to OD clients. We are also focusing on improving critical processes like center meeting discipline and other processes. Additionally, on an ongoing basis, we continue to split our large MB branches to maintain better control. Our profitability during the quarter was impacted by stress in JLG book, because of which credit cost was high as well as there was higher interest income reversal. Profitability is expected to remain under stress in S1 FY26, post which we expect material improvement in profitability profile. For us, FY26 would be a year of operational and financial optimization, whereby we would focus on improving asset quality first and grow all focused and profitability-driven businesses along with superior customer experience. As of now, we are not giving any specific guidance for FY26. We will share detailed guidance in mid of the year as we progress further. Our pre-provision operating profit, PPOP, increased by 1% year-on-year to 1,007 crore in FY25. Versus 9967 crore in FY24. During the current year, we changed accounting policy for recognition of loan processing fees collected from the borrowers and allied expenses for more appropriate presentation of the financial statement and alignment with the industry practice. This change in accounting policy has resulted in increase in bank's operating profit by around 95 crore during FY25. Our profit after tax was rupees 24 crore in FY25. Vis-a-vis 498 crore in FY24. As on March 31, 2025, we had surplus liquidity of around 3800 crore, which is higher than our usual liquidity requirement, and an LCR ratio of 190%. We don't have any short-term borrowing on our balance sheet. We are also undertaking a business transformation project to make our technology architecture and business process future-ready for our growth plans. Now we can move to question and answer section. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohan Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my first question is like, I just want to understand a bit on this microfinance business, because if you look at the south side, like there is government support starting come, like started coming like first in Karnataka. There is an ordinance, and now in the recent week there is a ordinance from the Tamil Nadu government as well, and we are not sure like whether the other states also will follow the same. So if there is a government support, so eventually it will impact the repayment behavior of the customers, right? So how we are going to tackle these things, like if it emerges? And my second question is, like, if you start covering the entire microfinance portfolio into CGFMU, so will it become a profitable business when there is no disruption, let's say if you're back from normalcy? That's all, yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't follow the second question. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, if you cover the entire microfinance portfolio into CGFMU, So like for like let's say like going forward, they will do the same in all the subsequent years. And when the microfinance business it comes back, like let's say it comes back to the normalcy, so will it become a profitable business because the premium for this is high, right?
Premium. Despite the premium, whether it will remain the profit.
Okay. So just to respond, you know, first part is about, what is happening in the states of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. So these states, yeah, state government has come with the ordinance. Two important things. Yes, temporarily it can certainly, you know, sometime it may have an impact on the portfolio. But we have seen in past also in medium run, I mean, this doesn't have impact. Secondly, what in both the ordinances, you know, what they have done, they have specifically mentioned that, you know, the regulated entities of Reserve Bank of India are excluded from this. I do understand that it, you know, sometime at the ground level, it may not go the same way, and that's why there may be some temporary issue, you know, in terms of collections or in the disruption of the operation. But I think both the cases, I think RBI also was firmly, you know, that the regulatory entity should not be impacted by these. And even the industry associations, SROs like MFIN and SARFAESI, they have also taken active part. And as I mentioned, you know, the REs are not a part of it. But I still take your point that sometime, you know, temporarily there may be disruption which can cause, you know, some issue in the collections for sure. On the second part, if you look at the guarantee part, if the guarantee, see the cost of guarantee may be on an annualized basis, maybe around 1 to 1.5%, broadly speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it may differ for some partners, but it's around 1 to 1.5%. So I think the profitability of the sector or overall microfinance or all the JLG will not get impacted. I think it will still remain, largely profitable and well sustainable. In fact, what also happens, if the guarantee is available, which is expected that I think most of the players are going towards that, the type of delinquencies sometimes we have seen, you know, abnormal delinquencies, those will be taken care. So I think it will be more, on a long term, more sustainable. And when you say the highs and lows will be less frequent and more controlled. So it will be more steady type of, you know, businesses which what we'll see. So our sense is, I think this guarantee is ultimately the way it is happening. It's good for all of us. And I think sustainability becomes more, I mean, you can say, I can use the word assured or more certain going forward if we get this cover. And the cost is not much of this cover.
Okay, so you mean, let's say if it cover the entire microfinance portfolio under the CGFMU, and if the microfinance business is back to normalcy, so the yield from this business like still be higher than the secured portfolio. Am I right, sir?
That's true. That's true. See, ultimately, it is unsecured portfolio from that angle. So yield
Yeah.
will be certainly be higher than secured portfolio in these cases. But you can say
Yeah.
delinquency,
So
you
my
know.
question is like even accounting this CGFMU expenses.
Oh yes, certainly yes. I mean, even if we account for the cost of the guarantee cover, this remains, profitable and sustainable business for sure.
So the yield also will be higher than the secured one, even if you include the premium amount into it, right?
Yeah, generally, you know, I mean, the way pricing happens, I mean, normally unsecured, whatever may be form and format, will attract higher yield or higher rate of interest than the secured loan.
Right. So yeah, so why I'm asking is like because instead of paying premium and if it and the outcome yield is not better, means then we can eventually move towards the secured portfolio, right? So yeah. So I just want to understand that part.
I didn't follow what is the last point. Yeah. Thank you. Sure. No, I just reiterate that, you know, the guarantee cover will certainly make it more sustainable and more steady, you know, from that angle. Maybe it's a matter of 1.5 years when we start getting benefit of that. Some players have reached the stage where they will start getting benefit of it. And this will be more sustainable and it will be more steady and the highs and lows will be more controlled. That is how it will happen. But certainly it will be much, much, it will certainly be a profitable business for all the players.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just wanted to understand, I mean, first April effective guardrail 2.0 was implemented. Has it been implemented properly and as per condition and how do you see, I mean, how much time we are away that you see the MFI segment coming back to normalcy?
So as I mentioned earlier, one is that, you know, all the guardrails have been implemented, and though I'm not, you know, from SRO, but I think this has happened with across basically, so because this is helpful when it happens across. So all have implemented, and we have also implemented from 1st of April, all the guardrails, this what we call 2.0. And we do expect that, you know, that this is going to help in controlling, and we have seen that happening, though there is stress because of, you know, earlier portfolio, but there will certainly improvement in overall portfolio. As I mentioned earlier also, you know, there has been stress, but level of stress is coming down significantly that we have seen during last 2-3 months, and especially in quarter 4 of last year and now. So, and as I mentioned in my opening remarks also, I think, you know, today quantifying that may be a little difficult, but we expect that this pain, whatever pain or stress is expected to be there for another 2 quarters, so, you know, quarter 1 and quarter 2 of FY26.
Okay, so another 6 months you expect the pain to be there. So, but ideally, since you mentioned that the stress is coming down, is it, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the credit cost that we have seen will see a declining trend in terms of your provisioning? I mean, will that be a fair assumption to make?
So, as we had mentioned in the previous call, about Q4 and Q4, we also mentioned in our earlier interim results that the X bucket has improved significantly. We guess that the Q1, Q2, some pain, as MD sir mentioned, will be there, but it should be lower than the earlier 2 quarters for sure. So it's in decline trajectory, and we are working hard to even improve and see that the level of decline and arrest is there in Q1 and Q2.
Understood. That's fair. And just one last small thing. Any specific pocket, I mean, in terms of our portfolio, any specific pocket in MFI where we are seeing abnormal stress, which is where we are operating basically?
So we are primarily present in Bihar, UP, Jharkhand, Odisha, Maharashtra and Rajasthan. Out of these states, we see slightly higher stress in the state of Odisha and Rajasthan. Other states are equal, and they are much better than these two states.
And Karnataka and Tamil Nadu would be how much percentage?
Karnataka, we have negligible presence through our BC partnership, and Tamil Nadu, we don't have any presence.
Very less presence across. Okay, got it. I think that would be it from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathway Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted a couple of questions. On this MF portfolio, you have opened some 204 branches. Out of this, 149 are MB branches in this year. The biggest in a year when you have the worst results. Now, these MB branches have not impacted the collection efficiencies over the period. Is there anything that we are missing here?
No, so, you know, what is the number? Anyway, 149. You are right that, you know, we have opened more branches for MB. So, largely these branches, term as a split branches. When the branch becomes large enough, then it becomes, because there are a lot of manual intervention still in case of JLG business. So, it becomes little, manually control becomes difficult. So, we split the branches into two or sometimes we make three branches out of two branches, sometimes we make two branches out of one branch. So, that is the exercise. you know, and we see the medium term, we normally start getting, impact of that. Because currently the environment is that, you know, the full focus in collection. Otherwise, collection improves for sure. That is our, you know, even we have seen wherever we have, you know, done a split of branches, we have seen better collection or in those places. At the same time, if the growth comes back, I think even the disbursement trajectory is better for those places. But as you have seen, the environment is such that it is very difficult to compare right now, you know, because of the stress in overall environment. It's difficult to pinpoint today that what is the impact of or the positive impact of all these branches. But certainly, you know, the investment in expanding this network will benefit us in terms of collection efficiency. At the same time, once, you know, the sector becomes little normal in terms of disbursement also, we should also get benefit in terms of investments.
Yeah, I understand that. The other question was, when I look at the operating costs in quarter four, it is higher than the net interest income. Now, this is with not all costs of all these opening of new branches factored in. When the entire thing gets factored in, what would be the running cost for per quarter, operating cost? Because you say that next two quarters are going to be little tight. Would it be really impacting your overall performance? Looking at Q4, which was otherwise a good collection efficiency of 99%.
So you would appreciate that, due to the NBA stress, you have a reversal of income that has been accrued prior year that does, impact the income line. And for that reason, you would find that the operating income is somewhere in line with the OPEX. But as we go along, as we have disbursement, improving, and by and large, the cost is going to be static. We have done the platform, increase in terms of the branches that we have done over the last 2 years. And so now we're going to be, as Goenji mentioned, driving on the operating efficiency as we go along. So as we go ahead and get income, generated from better disbursements, both, in terms of microbanking and non-microbanking, the operating profit, the buffer will be obviously higher, much higher than what you are seeing today.
One more thing I would like to clarify here is in Q4, the OPEX, what we see, 465 crore, is including the one-time impact we have taken because of change in our accounting policy. So DSA payout, which has been added, which is not a usual thing.
Yeah. I understand. And that's the reason why I was just comparing the NII with the operating costs, not the total income. My only, what is the amount of income reversal in Q4, if I can get interest reversal?
Yeah, it would be close to about 40 crore.
40 crores?
Yeah, it is on fresh slippage, it's about 40 crore.
Okay. That's all. And can I push in one more question, if you don't mind?
Yeah, please carry on.
Please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See, you have added a good number of people, some 3,600 people in the company, in the bank. How many of these are in collections and how many in credit assessment? Because I understand new branch opening will also have a sizable amount of new people.
Yeah. So largely these people are for, in the JLG business only. Almost close to 2,500 out of these people, 100 plus minus in the JLG business, and we have created collection team which has more than 800 people. They are dedicated people for 61 plus, DPD 60 plus. In fact, that is what they are focusing upon. Even the other people, because in microfinance, the center meeting, the collections happened by the same people, so they are into collections, large into collections, because as we all have experienced, the disbursement are not to the extent which normally used to happen. So they are largely into collections. Besides, there are around 800 people dedicated for collections only. So, out of 3,500 odd people, around close to 2,500 people are only for JLG. And that's why even our case load has gone down significantly during this year. The number of people have gone up, but the number of clients and the overall portfolio has gone down during this year. So that should benefit in days ahead as per the improving the collections, overall collections for the JLG portfolio. So focus has been more on the, improving the collections part across, in fact, and that's why this number.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anant Mudra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Please go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. Sir, so what is our PCR in the JLG book?
So for unsecured book, PCR is close to 52%.
Alright, alright. So sir, we've seen a big spike in GNPA quarter on quarter, while the SMA book has, SMA 0 to 90, that SMA 0 to 2 book has considerably reduced. So now, how should we think about, you know, how, I mean, there's a lot of pain from the GNPA pool that is left to be absorbed. So are we going to take this provision consistently over the next four quarters, or is there some one-time impact that we could see in our financials in Q1 or Q2? How should we think about this?
So, you know, we have also, you know, seen the last three quarters where there has been stress. And as I mentioned, we expect that, you know, quarter one and quarter two are the period when we should be able to, we expect that completely bottom out. When I say there are two aspects, one is that the portfolio improves, the delinquency levels come down, but it is, and we use the word bottom out for that period, for that portfolio. But as far as overall impact of the delinquencies, I think that normally goes to 3 to 4 quarters, you know, beyond that part. Maybe we should be able to assess, you know, during this H1, you mentioned yourself quarter one and quarter two, and take a final call, you know, because we have improved our collection mechanism in a big way. We do expect that there should be significant improvement in collections, normally the collection efficiency, but overall the collection from the overdue buckets also. So that is what we expect to happen. So we should be able to, as you also mentioned, we should be able to analyze and assess the overall impact, and we'll take a suitable, you know, suitable provisions or whatever is required accordingly during this period of H1.
One thing I would like to add here is that we are providing higher than what is recommended or prescribed by the RBI as per IRAC norms in all the businesses. So we have accelerated provisioning.
Got it. And so could you give some color on how the non-JLG book is behaving? Like what is the gross NPA in that portfolio and what has been the credit cost for this year in that portfolio?
So if you look at from an asset quality perspective, NPA in non-micro banking portfolio is close to 2.4%. And credit cost in these businesses have been in a range of 1 to 1.5%.
Got it, sir. And so you mentioned that
some of these NPAs also covered by FLDG, which we do through our BC partners.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, the credit cost of 1.5% is after factoring in the FLDG, or that benefit will separately accrue?
After factoring in on an overall basis for non-micro banking credit cost.
Okay. Got it, sir. And sir, you mentioned that you've implemented guardrails 2.0 from 1st April. So do you expect the SMA 0 to 90 book should be stable and in a declining trend going forward in spite of the implementation of the guardrails? Like what has been the early trend, because we've already seen the first month of the implementation of guardrail 2.0. What kind of impact do you see of that?
So, you know, if you compare with quarter four, I think we expect quarter one almost a similar trajectory. There may be little elevation, you know, in the April because of immediate, you know, implementation. But our assessment in the quarter one, this will be in the range of what we have seen in the quarter four of last year. The overall,
collection efficiency
and 1 to 90 bucket.
Yeah, so, I mean, last call also we had highlighted that 1 to 90 DPD bucket will start normalizing. And it has come down from December to March number. And by end of quarter one, it would normalize further.
Got it. And so one final question. So we had some buffers in our balance sheet in terms of there were some contingent provisions, and also we had a one-time recognition due to change in policy of fee income. Just wanted to check, are there any more buffers available in the balance sheet in case there is a credit cost that has to be absorbed in future?
We have been mentioning this in the previous call, and one of the items was floating provision, and you would appreciate that floating provision was set aside from profits in the earlier years with a very clear intent to make that floating provision in good times and use it when the stress actually is visible. By the way, this floating provision is also under regulatory radar, and we have taken requisite approvals. We have used this floating provision. And if you recollect, we had mentioned that whatever we had until September, from October onwards, we had also, stopped making any further floating provision. But the reason that you can't go for reversal and at the same time make floating provision, both are in that opposite direction. So as we stand, we have utilized fully the floating provision. And as you just mentioned, I just wanted to confirm to the fact that the entire floating provision with approval from the regulator has been utilized in this quarter or for the year. At the same time, I think it's important to mention that we were looking at, in terms of comparability with the peer set and the banks, and one of the accounting that we used to do is while we receive loan processing fee upfront in cash, but we used to amortize that, and therefore when we are receiving it in cash, it made a lot of sense to again for comparability to align with the industry, and we choose to in discussion again with the audit board and the regulators, we thought we will align this completely. So both of these has been done. There is otherwise both ways sitting out of the profit carve out, as we mentioned earlier. As such, there is nothing in the sense like buffer that continues, to answer that question. There isn't anything that is kept aside.
The only thing I think what I would just like to add that, we don't have, we have used the entire floating provision, but our normal provision is extra, it's beyond the RBI required type of provision. And that certainly, is there. But we are not trying to quantify that, but that is there. But normal, whatever we have created, we have utilized that.
Got it, sir. And sir, one final question. So what is our AUM of Utkarsh plus more than two borrowers?
Utkarsh plus in total, if you take 3 plus 4 plus 5, everything put together, it is close to 25%.
Got it.
Of which 12%
is
plus 4 or higher, and
13%
is plus 3.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end. I'll get back in the queue for any more
questions. Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just a couple of things. Firstly, on the answer you gave to the previous participant about how the collection efficiency will be in this quarter, you are saying that overall number will be very similar to Q4. And if that is the case, see, Q4, I believe you had an improving month-on-month collection efficiency between January and March. So are you saying that in April we have already seen some decline because of implementation of three lender cap, and that will get covered up in May and June?
Yeah, absolutely. So, if there is a slight decline in the month of April, which will cover up in the month of May and June. So overall, we see that Q1 should be similar to the Q4, and Q4 was, I would say, quite satisfactory in terms of collection efficiency in the initial four buckets.
Okay. And could you, tell us what is the profitability of the secured products, the MSME, housing and CGCG, as a portfolio, we've been running them for a few years now. What is the current profitability, and what is the roadmap for profitability in the next 2-3 years, and what are the factors and levers through which the profitability can be, turned around or further improved for them?
So as far as our secured portfolio is concerned, it's moving in right direction in terms of we have improved our yield, so yield is quite satisfactory. OPEX has been coming down. OPEX to AUM ratio is coming down year on year because of increasing book as well as because of the operational efficiency. Credit cost has been in control. Our fee income has been as per expected lines. So year-on-year profitability ratio is improving, and it is on track. So I'd say few of the segments in those businesses are already making profits, and all other businesses are fully on track. We are quite satisfied with that.
But since we've been doing this business with certain profitability in mind in the future, what is that profitability number, ROA number, an aspirational number that you think that you'll achieve, for which you are gaining and accreting scale?
So at this point of time, we'll not be able to actually give any numeric to that. But we believe that in this financial year, we'll have satisfactory ROA from those businesses. And next year, it will be much better than that.
Okay. Just one last thing. Any changes in lending rates in MFI in response to how the risk has played out, or maybe because of higher credit cost? Are we tweaking our lending rates in MFI, maybe up or maybe even down, if you think that for growth, you need to keep it slightly down? Any changes?
No, as of now, there are no plans of any change in MFI rate of interest. I mean, either way, in fact, we don't have any plans right now.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good afternoon. So first question is purely a data-keeping one. If you can share the segmental slippages, that is one. The next question is, now that it's been about three quarters of this asset quality down cycle, three quarters of recollections, I assume you would now have a much better idea of the borrower situation on the ground. So just wanted to check with you, what has exactly happened to these delinquent set of borrowers? How many of them have gone missing? How many of them were involved in some kind of identity frauds? And what are you essentially doing about them, about recovering from them?
So Ashlesh, first on data point, so overall, fresh NPA was about 770 crore in quarter four, out of which about 665 crore is micro banking and balance is non-micro banking. On second question, sir, with respect to... And out of non-micro banking also, roughly about 28 crore is BC book, which includes both JLG and the non-JLG portfolio. And as we said earlier also, that BC JLG slippages or any other BC-related slippages are covered by FLDG, which we have from the BC partner.
Got it. On the other question, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, our experience of the customers, so in we all, you know, understood that this time JLG, the way JLG operate could not, was not operated. There are a lot of customers who are delinquent, and the design was not, you know, for a door-to-door collection, and that is why it is taking long time. Our broad finding, I mean, we don't have any exact data for that, but is our finding at that, we still see that, you know, most of the customers, maybe were not able to contact during that period. I'm talking 6-7 months back. Our current and, you know, and efforts are to contact in each and every customer, who is overdue, currently. We are seeing a little better central discipline also. Again, not an exact data, but maybe around 65% to 70% of central meetings are happening. Some of the customers are coming, some of the customers are still not coming there. But if you look from the livelihood of customers, I think that this time that is not a major issue, which was the case in, say, in COVID and those period. I think, maybe, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% customer are under stress. But most of these customers, because of the, you know, the guardrails which were put forth, and there are some stress and people are not able to get, you know, funds, because of stricter, you know, stricter following of the guardrails. There are some real stress because of the, you know, that because of the cash flow mismatch that we are seeing. So contacting customer and real cash flow mismatch, I think these are the two reasons, and which I think we and the other players are also trying to implement through collections team, through the normal team, which is currently focusing on collections only. It's very difficult even to currently predict, you know, what type of, you know, amount will finally be able to recover. But I think recovery of the overdue part, I'm saying that, should be much better from here. That is what is expected, because I think now we are able to, or again, as mentioned, this is largely about the industry also. People are able to connect the customer, contact the customers, and the ability of, you know, or ability of getting this money back, I'm talking the arrear part, is much, much better, much, 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 much bigger now, because there is not livelihood issue in most of the cases. I'm not saying it is not there at all in most of the cases. It is the, you know, over leverage, and which gradually is getting addressed.
Understood, sir. Thank you. And just lastly, at a very broad level, how do you think about the loan mix going forward?
So loan mix, as we have, you know, guided also. Again, it's I mean, not seen as a guidance, but we have been increasing our secured portfolio by, you know, 4 to 5% on an annual basis, year on year. And our expectation is that, you know, at least if you look at the medium term horizon, that should keep happening. Our secured book will keep growing by around 4-5% in terms of percentage on a year on year basis. So you are aware that we have now, during last 5-6 years, we have put a lot of efforts. We have proper, you know, collection credit, product and sales team for each and every vertical that we have put in place. So our expectation is around 4-5% increase in secured book if you look at a medium term horizon.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Those are all the questions. Okay.
Thanks, Ashish.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Fulwani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is if you can share an update on the reverse merger.
Sure, I think.
Yeah, all right. Okay, you know, we have got the NOC from RBI. We also know that the two exchanges through which, you know, SEBI in ultimately gives in okay. So both of them have given their NOC. Currently, we have already responded queries to SEBI. I think we are in the queue. I've seen some of the, you know, sequencing. I guess our application was somewhere in December, and then there are some of the applications for merger or merger to be even filed prior to us, which are still open. We hope that, you know, our in the queue comes as soon as possible, hoping this month. All that is awaited is SEBI okay, and you know, trying to see that, you know, we also approach them if there is anything that remains to be explained, hoping that we get that approval this month early as possible.
In nutshell, only SEBI approval has left. I think we are still expecting that to happen soon. There has been some delay, you know, what we had discussed last time also. It's largely because of we are yet to receive SEBI approval, and as soon as it happens, I think we are ready for filing with the NCLT. And thereafter, you know, you are aware the NCLT process may take from 7-8 months, 9 months or so, whatever is the normal time process. So that is what is expected. But I think SEBI approval is one, you know, important thing what we are waiting for right now.
Okay. And the second question is that we have seen some changes in the senior management personnel at the bank. What has been the reason for it? Because we have seen this happening quite frequently in the last two quarters.
So these were, I mean, I can use the word, you know, of course, timing might be, you know, you might have seen on 30th April, but these were, you know, some of the cases where people, you know, sometimes people want to move on also. And we have very strong second line as far as, you know, it's not only about this business, but across the businesses. You name the department, we have very strong second line, and which takes care of this. And there is no gap in between, you know, per se from that angle. And also, Pramod, he's on this call also. Our ED, he had joined 8-9 months back, and he takes care of all the businesses. So the names you just saw, in fact, they also used to report to him, and he's overseeing all the businesses, including the deposit part, the liabilities part, the assets part, the microbanking part, the collections part. So there is no gap per se in between. As far as the day-to-day operations or even the strategic or, you know, business plans for next year is concerned.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shrikant Shivsagar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, yes. Please go ahead.
Good evening. My question is on the lending side. After the NPAs, like after we've seen the stress during this time, have we made any extra checks or any other improvement in the lending practices?
Yeah, certainly, as you know, whenever such things happen, there are learnings also. Some might happening because of, you can say, guardrails or because of environment. But, you know, at the same time, especially if you look at JLG, the type of discipline we are talking of, the type of monitoring we are talking of, even use of technology, I think it's not that we are not doing earlier, but we have, you know, strengthened all those things, the underwriting norms, not on JLG, but even in the non-JLG part, you know, wherever we thought that there are gaps and which became apparent during this period, I think those have been plugged. Our CRO is in this call. He can also, you know, talk a little bit on the part wherever we have strengthened in terms of control and underwriting practices. I mean, right from sourcing till that. Just to add one more thing, you know, because we are in lending business, we have further strengthened our collections part also. Be it the JLG and be it the non-JLG part. Historically, in JLG, people are not having collections team, so now we are having 800 plus people collection team. And similarly, on the other side also, for the retail assets, for the all other lending, you know, mortgage and other things also, we have strengthened our you know, collections team across the country. But he can talk a little bit on the other aspects of underwriting other things.
Yeah. So just to add what MD has just told you, even on the MB side, all the guardrails or all the rules are being, you know, the input into the system itself. So there is no manual intervention. The system takes care of all the rules and all the guardrails, and automation is there. As far as non-MB products are concerned, we continuously look very granularly on the data at a granular level, and we see which CIBIL score band we are getting early delinquency, or which are the policy norms even on the LTV side or the FOIR side or other parameters in retail, because so many parameters goes into play on retail side, and we keep on strengthening or changing those levers. So we have taken all adequate you know, measures, and this has been continued since last 6 months, and we keep on doing this in future as well.
Thank you. One more question on the secured lending side. As Govind sir previously mentioned, that we try to increase the share like of secured lending approximately 4 to 5% each annual year. So any plans on the gold loan side? Because I think the percentage is quite low as of now.
Yes, so we have started gold loans, and we intend to increase that, although the numbers at this point of time is very, very small number. It's just a beginning, but we have started doing it in quite a few branches.
And lastly, a last question. Do we have any plans to collaborate with any fintech apps to lend?
So we do have fintech, you know, where we have partnership, and under BC model we have a few partnerships where we are lending through fintech, and certainly efficient, you know, the experience has been good, the efficiency of fintech we are able to get, and we are also able to get the FLDG cover. So I think we have a good experience, and certainly not in a very big way, but in a small way we intend to keep exploring that wherever we are able to get good fintech partners and good product, we will certainly be, you know, exploring additional partnership under VC model.
And the supercar which we have launched, I think any response on it? How is the response on the supercar?
Oh yes, it's a secured credit card, and our response has been very good. You know, and we have also got, I mean, I may not be able to say sizable as on date, but we're also able to get good amount of fixed deposits in this. And so far the experience has been good, and we expect that, and especially, you know, in some of the geographies we are aware that, you know, credit cards are not available to people. So I think this product is doing good, and idea is to scale this product in future. So our initial experience has been very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Best of luck. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathway Investments. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. Just want to check out on a couple of questions. One is this Bihar state elections which are coming up, and we have a large exposure in Bihar. Any impact you can see?
Bihar state election.
So, you know, as I mentioned that Utkarsh as an institution is working in that geography, especially UP and Bihar, for the last 16 years. and we have seen multiple general elections, state elections, even panchayat elections. And elections have never impacted, you know, as far as the ground level JLG part is concerned. So we don't, you know, foresee any challenge, any such, you know, impact because of the general elections coming in Bihar. In fact, some of these governments which are supportive of microfinance, you know, movement, because getting loans for livelihood in the, especially the states like Bihar is very important, even for from the, you know, from the government side. So we don't expect any disruption or any such thing because of elections.
Okay, thanks. And what is the risk of amount of loans in the books as of
now? Sorry,
can you come again?
Return of loans. What is the total return of loans on books?
So basically, you know, this number is a cumulative number, and if we would put all technical return of amount, it will be about 1,000 crore.
But this is over a period.
This will be cumulative over a period.
Period, all 8 years. Yeah, almost 8 years amount.
Yeah, I understand. So 1,000 crore is the return of book. Any recovery? Because your recoveries are very low. So, because I think because most of it will be microfinance, but any chances of any big recovery happening in that?
So, you know, in terms of recovery, the recovery part, what you might have seen slow is because there are a lot of, you know, it's a recent one, and there were guardrails because of that. Getting money from people was becoming little difficult, you know, disbursement were also low. But historically, you know, we have been, even JLG and non-JLG both, we have been able to recover recover money. In fact, today also in some cases we recover even, you know, even during demon period, you know, amount we are able to recover in some cases. So we do expect that recovery will keep happening in these cases. And even today also we are able to get old, very old, you know, recoveries in JLG and in non-JLG also. So, I mean, it's very difficult to put a number right now, but yes, we do expect the recovery proportion and recovery percentage will significantly improve from here.
And if you see right of collection in current financial year, it is more than 80 crore.
80 crore?
Yeah, more than 80 crore.
Okay. And secondly, if I remove this impact of this change in accounting policy for quarter four, both from income as well as from expense, your OPEX to income ratio is nearly 74%. And if you are saying this is a one-off event and definitely it will not be recurring in the next year, but your collections will happen in the same manner, 74% is pretty high. Do you see that impacting in the coming quarters?
So you are right. The one-off also is part of, you know, the amortization that we used to do for loan processing fee in terms of payout to partners has been booked upfront. But if you take one-off out, then honestly the OPEX, you know, increase YOY is around 20%, and Q on Q is around 4%. So technically, what is business as usual cost. So to that extent, the incremental cost will be business as usual volume driven increase, and that is what we see to happen.
So actually, what is also happening? All these ratios are getting impacted by the denominator factor. So because there is no growth, but you know expenses were there. So obviously, as I mentioned, it's a matter of few quarters. Before you know we'll start improvement in all the parameters across.
Yeah, because this quarter was quite bad. So therefore, if you remove that the factor, then it could have been really miserable quarter. And if you think that is going to continue for the next 2 quarters, there would be a pain that we should see in H1.
No, but we didn't mention that pain will be like what was in quarter 3 and quarter 4. I mean, when we talk of pain, it is the overall pain. You know, whatever are the delinquencies of previous quarters, there may be any additional provision on that. Suppose you have done 50%, you have to make now additional 15-20% provision on that. So that is the type of pain. Certainly, you know, collections are improving, and the especially the rate of delinquencies are coming down significantly. So it won't be, you know, on those lines.
So can we expect a higher disbursements in the next 2 quarters? Because that's the only way you can increase your income.
As you have indicated that, you know, quarter end of quarter one or maybe beginning of quarter two, we should see an improvement in disbursement. That is what we expect as of now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kapil from GC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a culmination of some of the things discussed. Based on the OPEX accounting changes and the income accounting changes, do you feel that the bottoming out of the pre-provisioning profit, I'm not referring to the final PBT number, the pre-provisioning profit of 235 crores is virtually the bottom because, you know, things have stabilized, there would be some level of better recovery and the disbursements would have lesser reversals. So is there a bottoming out of the pre-provisioning profit? That's one. The second is, you know, given that there is a gross NPA closer to 1,000 crores still there and there's a, do you think another 300 to 400 crores is the max provision relating to the old book which would be made? So after, if that is number one, and based on that, what would be the medium term credit cost which we should budget? You know, this 400 or 500 crores could be one time, but what is the medium term credit cost we should budget on the microfinance book and the non-micro finance book? And culmination of all of this, again, would it be fair to assume that the PPOP could be therefore well in the range between 1200 to 1400 crores in the coming year?
As I mentioned in the beginning of the call, I guess, you know, we will come back with more, you know, in the mid of the year on exactly what you are seeking. At the moment, I guess, to play a crystal ball guess would be a little premature.
We are on.
Yeah.
It is.
Will you take next question?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of Anant Mudra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, when do we expect to complete the fundraise? And by what mode are we planning to do this?
So, you know, we had discussed last time also in terms of fundraise, we, one is obviously market situation. We need to be careful about market situation. As far as the capital adequacy is concerned, we are still above, 20% capital adequacy, and you are aware that RBI requires 15% as a statutory requirement of capital adequacy. So we will not be in a hurry, and we are aware that we have taken approval for 750, up to 750 crore, not 750 crore, but up to 750 crore tier 1 capital that we can raise for market. So we'll certainly, you know, look at market. The moment market is, you know, receptive and good, then certainly we'll go for this. But we'll not be in a hurry because, you know, we are adequately capitalized as on date.
Got it. So, and sir, any color on the modes of the fundraise? Like, can it be through a rights issue is what I'm trying to understand.
So I think we have kept it open, and as I mentioned, you know, based on our interaction with the investors and the overall market conditions, we'll take a call. It is not yet closed that way, you know, as I mentioned, because you have seen that market is not that steady right now, so we need to be a little cautious about that part. So certainly, you know, whatever modes is doable and useful for us, we'll take that mode. And certainly we'll come back to all the investors, you know, before it is done.
Got it, sir. That's it from me. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all of you for joining this call. And as you have mentioned that, you know, market is through, especially microfinance part, other businesses are well, you know, on track in terms of other assets, in terms of liabilities. Yes, microfinance is passing through a, you know, tough phase. We are seeing that it is in the process of bottoming out, and we should see good traction, good improvement in next few quarters. And we'll keep engaging with larger fraternity on this part. And again, thank you very much for attending this call, and look forward, you know, your continuous support and, you know, guidance to us. Once again, thank you. And thank you, ISEC team, for arranging this call.
Thank you. on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.